So good morning. I have the privilege of bringing the message to you today. I just want to share with you, this has been kind of a rough week in our church with the loss of Nelson, so many people in and out of the hospital, and now Mary. This has been a rough week. But God is good, and God gives us the strength to do what we need to do when we need to do it. But I just want to say, you know, Pastor Joel is just an amazing pastor. I've gotten a glimpse this week of everything that that man does week after week after week. And I don't know how he does it all. Well, I do know how he does it all. Because he works many, many hours, and he does it through the strength of God. That's the way he does it. So when you see Pastor Joel, just thank him for everything that he does. Because, you know, we have one amazing God, and God gives us the strength to do what we need to do, but we have to be open to doing what God calls us to do. You'll notice I have a little something different here today. I have an altar cloth, which we usually don't have here, but many of you have been up to the sanctuary, and you know, on the altar, in the pulpit, and the lectern, we have those. Do you need me to stand someplace else? Okay, I just hear ringing. Okay, thank you. So we have altar cloths on the pulpit, the altar, the pulpit, and the lectern. And this is the one that's on the pulpit upstairs. So I brought it down because, and the reason I did that is because it's part of my sermon today. This is going to be a teaching sermon. So this one's going to be maybe a little different for you. So we have some very interesting ways to denote different seasons in our lives. For example, we look to the wisdom of a rodent known as a groundhog to tell us on February 2nd when spring is coming. And there's the farmer's almanac, which gives information to farmers of when it's the best time to plant their crops. Now, I'm not a farmer, so I don't know how reliable the almanac is, but I looked it up, and Punxsutawney Phil is only correct 39% of the time out of the past 120 years that he's been doing that. He's an old guy. So March 22nd marks the beginning of spring season. So that's coming up. We're less than a month away there. But before we jump into spring, let's first take a look at the next season of our Christian faith, okay? And that is Lent. Now, Lent begins this Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, and it runs through the Saturday before Easter Sunday. There's 40 days total. There's actually 46, but you do not count the Sundays through Lent, because that is, each Sunday is a celebration of Jesus' resurrection. So Lent is only the weekdays that you're going to count, so there's 40 days. Now, in the Church of the Brethren, we don't necessarily follow the same practices that other Christian churches do during Lent. For example, we don't have an Ash Wednesday service where, you know, we get ashes put on our forehead. Do any of you go somewhere for Ash Wednesday and get that done? Do you? Okay. Yes, you would do that. You would do that in the Catholic Church. So, anybody else? Okay. Well, I've had that done before. It's kind of a cool thing to have done. But we do follow some other things. What are some things we do? So Skip does that. What are some other things we do in the Church of the Brethren to celebrate? There's something special we do that's kind of different than others. We wash feet, yeah. We have a foot washing service and a love feast and communion service, absolutely. So traditions are going to vary, but we do, in the church year somewhere, you do celebrate Lent. So to understand this better, I want to turn to what is known as the liturgical calendar. Now, many of you may already know what that means, but I think it's always good to have a refresher from other church, or excuse me, it's good to have a refresher of why we do what we do at the church, okay? So I found this really cool liturgical calendar up here, and I love it. They have a bunch of different ones, but this one was really, this really spoke to me. So we have several calendars that we follow, and we may not know it, but the first one is the Gregorian calendar, which was established in 1582, and that's the one that you use every day from January 1st to December 31st. It was established by Pope Gregory the 13th, and so we've been using that one for a long time. The next one we use is the fiscal year calendar. The fiscal year calendar, that goes from July 1st to June 30th, and that affects businesses and all that stuff. But this one is very important to us as Christians. This is the liturgical calendar. The liturgical, it's from the root word liturgy, meaning the practices for public worship, the practices that are used for public worship. That's the liturgy. So the liturgy of our various services, now we have an offering, we have times of prayer, we have singing, we have scripture reading, and we have a message. That's all part of the liturgy in our worship services that we have. But we also, with this liturgical calendar, now it's not going to give it in this one, but it has a listing of, and the Catholic Church uses this all the time. They have a listing of scriptures for every single day during Lent. And they also have for the Sundays. So some of the pastors, Joel does from time to time, he will pull something from the liturgical calendar and he will use that as his text for preaching. So that's what I'm doing with you today, because the text for Ash Wednesday is actually, did you read the scripture, Allie?
No, you started talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. I will read the scripture in a bit. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. You should have told me to be quiet. That's never stopped you before. So the scripture for today is the one that is for Ash Wednesday according to the liturgical calendar. But I want us to go briefly through the year, the liturgical year, because I want us to gain a better understanding of it and what the importance is of each of the seasons of the year and how we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ in each season. So looking at this calendar, our calendar year begins on the left-hand side there with Advent, okay? That's when the liturgical calendar begins, the first Sunday of Advent. And it ends right before Advent of the following year, okay, the day before. So the members, there are members in our church, you may not know this, called the Church Altar Guild. And they are responsible for putting the altar cloths on the altars upstairs in the pulpit and the lectern. And the reason, what they do in order to know what colors go on, they follow the liturgical calendar because it gives them some insight. Did anybody know that? A couple people, yes, you guys heard it at first service, so okay, you know that. So the seasons are as follows. So we're going to go quickly through these. This Advent, and those are the first Sundays prior to Christmas Day. And this is a time of anticipation and the coming of Christ child as told by the prophets. Now, it's purple, but it kind of looks a little blue up there. And the purple cloths are for anticipation and royalty, okay? Christmas Day and Christmastide, it begins on Christmas Day and it runs until January 6th, and it's celebrating the birth of Jesus. So we use white altar cloths for that because it's a celebration of joy of the birth. Epiphany Sunday is January 6th, and it is 12, and we'll celebrate it the Sunday that is closest to January 6th, but Epiphany is always on the 6th of January, and it's 12 days after Christmas. And it's the revelation to the world of Jesus being God incarnate. Epiphany celebrates the revelation at two events. The first is when the Magi came to visit Jesus, okay? It didn't happen, like we all have our little manger scenes and Jesus is or the wise men are there with Jesus right away. That didn't happen till he was almost two, because they followed the star and they came, so they traveled a distance. So that was the first that Epiphany celebrates. And the second event is the baptism of Jesus by John. Now, Jesus came out of the water, and God's voice said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Then we go, and it doesn't show it. It shows Epiphany as all white up there. But there, we go into a little bit of ordinary time, what's called ordinary time. You can see the big green splotch down there. That begins right after Epiphany, and it runs until Lent begins. And it's a time of our day-to-day ordinary lives where we learn from the ministry of Jesus and his followers, and we try to live a life as exampled by Christ. So we put green altar cloths on to symbolize growth and growing, okay? Then Lent begins on Ash Wednesday every year, and it takes us through Easter Sunday. It is a time of humbling ourselves before God and showing regret for our sins. It's being penitent. It's also a time to experience with Jesus, the suffering that he endured on our behalf. So purple altar cloths are put on, and this time they stand for penitence, okay? Being humble and regretful for our sins. So then we have Holy Week, that's Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and we bring us back to Easter Sunday, where we have the white cloths because we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. So then if you look up there, you see Easter, and then you see the red, and it's for Pentecost, but before Pentecost, we move into a time called Ascension. Now, Ascension happens 40 days after Easter, and this is the time when Jesus was to have ascended to heaven. Now, have any of you ever gone back to Lurgan Nursery and found to get flowers? It's in May, and you find that they're closed? That's because they're celebrating Ascension Day, okay? So I think it's May 21st this year, so don't go to Lurgan Nursery on May 21st for flowers. So that is Ascension Day. And then we celebrate Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is representative of the Holy Spirit coming like fire upon the people. And that's found in Acts chapter 2. And so that is the red cloth, okay, the red cloth up there to stand for fire. And then we're back to ordinary time. Now, I love this calendar up here because it says the story of Jesus is the top half. And the bottom half is the story of the people of God. So there's a lot of ordinary time in there. And this is the time where we learn from the Old Testament scriptures and from all the people that wrote in the New Testament. We're still going to have, of course, it's still going to have smatterings of Jesus in there throughout that whole thing. But we are having that ordinary time where we're learning from others as well, the people that have gone before us that have followed Christ. So what do you think of that? Is that just like really exciting? It's interesting. I found it interesting, so I hope you do too. But it's just something that we can learn from, because a lot of times we don't know why we do what we do in the church. So I just wanted to give you a quick look at that. But it gives us an outline for our year as a church, but also as an individual. I think we do a really good job of celebrating Christmas and Easter, but we're coming to Lent. So I just want you to keep that in mind. So why the white cloth today? Well, today is, it's not mentioned up there, but today is actually Transfiguration Sunday, and that is the glorious revelation of God in Jesus Christ. And Christ is the fulfillment of the law of Moses and the words of the prophets, like Elijah. Now, in Matthew 17, it says this: "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus." Can you imagine what it would have been like to be there with Jesus in that moment? Can you imagine? Transfiguration Sunday always occurs the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, because it marks a transition in the life of Jesus' ministry. It marks a time when he's heading into his final days. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, right before this, Jesus has just predicted his death to the disciples. So this is his transitioning into his last days. So as we enter, we are about to enter this time of Lent as well. It should mark a transition for us. Lent is a time to redirect our lives, to free ourselves from things that are pulling us away from focusing on Christ, and to bring us back on track and rediscover our need for Jesus as our Savior. So how do we do this? Let me go back and read today's scripture for today. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and your face, and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So as I said, today's scripture there is the scripture for Ash Wednesday this week in the liturgical calendar. And it's a passage that tells us that we need to give alms to the needy. We need to pray and we need to fast. But more importantly, it tells us that we must do these things in private. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when giving alms. Do not stand on the street corners and shout your prayers for all to see. And do not be a drama queen when you are fasting so others can see your agony. Have you ever seen people like that? Oh, I'm fasting, you know, I will be the first to admit, when I have to fast for a test, especially the lovely colonoscopy, I mean, I know that's just, everybody loves that test. But when I have to fast and I'm told that I can only drink liquids, I am the grumpiest person and nobody wants to be around me, okay? This really speaks to me. This verse really speaks to me because I need to not be a drama queen when it comes to it. But what does God say about all three of these things? Do so in private, so only God can see. So over and over again in the scriptures, it tells us that Jesus went off to pray by himself. Matthew 4 tells us that he went off alone to fast as well. Here's what it says. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now, right before Jesus went into the time of fasting, he was baptized. So going into the wilderness, the purpose for him going into the wilderness was because he was preparing for his ministry ahead. Okay, that's what he was doing. He was preparing for that. He needed the time and the solitude with God in order to be grounded in God before walking into a world that would eventually reject him. What does that teach us about our walk with God? If Jesus needed the time alone with God, we also need to take that time alone with God. We need to be grounded in God's word, and we need to rest in God's promises before we go out and we face whatever the world has to throw at us. There are three things in today's scripture that are the pillars for Lent, and they are the almsgiving, the praying, and the fasting. And I want to touch on two of them, the prayer and the fasting, and I'm going to talk about them kind of as one unit here. So one of the main reasons for fasting is to reshift our focus onto Christ. You gain strength from God while you're fasting from food because you are fed by the word of God and from being in God's presence. Okay, so when you're fasting, you're not supposed to be just sitting around feeling miserable. You're supposed to be focused on God. That's the purpose of a fast. Has anybody ever fasted, done a fasting other than, you know, for medical purposes? Have. It's something, isn't it? It's a life-changing time. So I encourage you. I don't really encourage a 40-day fast. I'm not saying everyone go out and do a 40-day fast. But I am encouraging you to that if you would like to do that, it's an awesome experience. There is something, however, that each and every one of us can do, and that's my encouragement for today, is I want you to fast from the busyness of life. We are all busy. We all have to-do lists to do, and there's always something that is pulling us and dragging us down. But our soul, our spirit needs attention. And that's attention that only God can fill. It can't be filled by anything of this world. It can only be filled by God. Now, I went on a spiritual retreat. I think I may have shared that with you in January. I went out to Idaho to a monastery where there were a bunch of nuns. And I discovered something really important about myself. And that was I need a rhythm in my life that's centered on God. We had three times a day. We had 8:30, 11:30, and 5 o'clock. We met together and we sang together. We read scripture together and we sat in silence together. And it was just a wonderful time of being there. And just those three times, it was like 20 minutes each time, maybe 30 for the middle one. Each time, it was just a time just to refocus on God and putting God in the center of the day. So this rhythm was so helpful to me during that week that I decided when I returned home, I needed to start doing something like this myself. I'm still in the process of trying to figure it out because we all know how, I mean, I was out there, I didn't have work to do, that was fine. But when you come back and you get work and family obligations and all that kinds of stuff, it's difficult. It's difficult. So that's one thing that I've been working on, and it's called praying the hours. Praying the hours is a method of praying. Saint Benedict, back in the year 516, this is a long time ago, Saint Benedict wrote this rule for Saint Benedict, and he wrote it for monasteries, and some monasteries are using the same thing today, and they have 8 different times a day that they are praying. They're coming together as a unit to pray. Remember, the scripture says to us, pray without ceasing, okay? So how do we do that with our day? Now, I can tell you right now to just stop everything and do 8 times a day, that's gonna be cumbersome to me in everything that I'm doing. And we realized, you know, the monks were living in a monastery and that was their way of life. So for us, how can we draw from that and learn from that and do something? And you know what? I think God would be happy with one time a day, at least start with one time a day where we sit down for 20 minutes and we spend time in scripture and we spend time in silence with God. All our lives have some type of rhythm. Whether we're raising children, we're working, whatever. There's rhythm because you got to get up, you got to get yourself ready before you get the kids ready and get them out the door, and then you're off to this and that and the other thing, and And you're balancing, you know, church stuff, you're balancing work, you're balancing family, you're balancing all those things. And I've had many retired people say to me, I just don't understand how I'm this busy. I'm retired. Do any of you understand that are retired? Mm-hmm. You seem like you're more busy now. Life is rhythm. But if we don't stop and pause and spend time with God, that rhythm gets out of sync and it's chaos. Sister Lillian, one of the nuns out there, said to me, she says, throughout your day, just pause, close your eyes, and remember that God is in control. How long does that take? One moment of silence throughout your day to just regroup and say, Lord, you're in control. How are we going to do this? Well, out in the narthex, there just happens to be some nice little things for you. There's this devotional, this Lenten devotional called Holy Manna. Pastor Joel ordered these before a couple months ago, and so they've been here. And this is nice. It gives you, it's kind of like the secret place, and there's some secret place out there too, and that runs also through Lent. But this is something that was published by Brethren Press. And it's by a lady, Paula Bowser. I'm not familiar with who she is, but she did this devotional. So that's out there. There's not a lot of copies, but there's enough that maybe, you know, one per family would be great, okay? If you're interested in looking at the liturgical calendar, I have pages out there like this. It's beside the Holy Manna. This is actually from the Presbyterian Church, and this gives you a reading for each day. There's a psalm for the morning, a psalm for the evening, and then scriptures throughout the day so that you can take the time and spend and be with God. Like I said, there's the secret place, and I have found for myself for the whole year long, I have found this is my favorite book for devotionals. Got this whenever I first went to seminary, and it's called A Guide to Prayer for All Who Walk with God. It's about $16 on Amazon if you'd be interested in it, and I can give you the information to it. But it is wonderful because it walks you through, it gives you a psalm every day, it gives you time for silence, it gives you time to journal, it gives you things to read about and other scriptures to read. And the point of it is spend time with God each and every day. Spend time with God somehow. Now, beginning Thursday, March 5th, not this Thursday, but next Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m., we're going to be having a time of prayer and reflection for 1 hour. And you're welcome to come in. It's going to be a quiet time. Will be some scripture reading and some singing of some songs, some time of silence and prayer, thoughts to ponder, things like that. So that's going to start March 5th, and it's going to run the 6 weeks of Lent. So watch for that in the bulletin. And if you can only come one time or, you know, whatever, that's fine. You want to come all six, that's great. They're going to be different each week. There's going to be a different little theme. But my encouragement is just please, as you're coming to this time of Lent, embrace this change of season known as Lent. Embrace it and make a transition to see Christ in a new light and with your eyes wide open, with new eyes. Walk the journey with Christ. Die to self and be reborn anew in Him. Amen. Let us pray. God, we ask that you awaken us from our spiritual drowsiness so that we can walk into this new season with you with eyes wide open. Give us strength to make a change in our lives, a change that involves spending more time with you and less time on the things that shall pass away soon enough. Help us to fast from the busyness of everyday life, to sit and be still and know that you are God. For Jesus, you sacrificed everything for us. May we sacrifice our time to be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.